And it was found in Psalm 127. If I had had these principles when I was raising my children, I think I would have done a whole lot better. Not there's anything wrong with my children. Okay? I've got great children, and they're, you know, doing some wonderful work, and I appreciate that. But the problem was not with them. The problem was me. And so I think if I'd have had some of these principles early on in life, it would have helped me to guide them and get them to where the Lord would have them be. So looking back, I realized I was deficient in a lot of ways. And so what I'm going to share with you today is not because of my tremendous success, but because I'm learning some things as a granddad that I didn't know as a dad. And though I'm speaking to the dads, this can also apply to granddads, great-granddads, because we still have an influence in the lives of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So today I want to look at a passage from Psalm 127. I want you to read this with me. I'm going to scoot over to the edge where everybody can see this passage of Scripture. Would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. You may be seated. So the title of the day's message is Arrows in the Hand of a Warrior. That would make a good book title, I think. Arrows in the Hand of a Warrior. I was struck primarily by this passage in verse 4, that like the arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And I am not an archer. I probably have messed with a bow about half a dozen times in my life, and when I tried to shoot it, it didn't go where I directed it. But this morning, I've invited someone who is an expert marksman and who also handcrafts bows and is known throughout the world for his bow making. And his name is John Strunk, and he exited his children's class he was teaching over at First Christian Church to come and be with us this morning. So, John, would you come and show us or tell us the things that are on your heart and show us what you've been crafted by the Lord to do for him? And I'm going to let you speak into this microphone so that people on Zoom can hear what's going on.
I wish I could hear what's going on.
Let's see. Okay.
Yeah, my hearing aid is in the doctor's office right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll do the best we can. Since this is Father's Day, I thought I'd read this card that I got from my daughter a couple of years ago. Kind of fits everything we're talking about. Said, growing up, we were sometimes a little difficult, a little stubborn, and acted like we knew it all. But there was a good reason for it. Heredity. Well, pretty appropriate, I would think, you know. When Brad asked me to come over and talk to you about bows, I could go on forever, I guess. But I started playing with bows when I was a kid. And, you know, I had an uncle that loaned me a bow, and I played with it for quite a while. And along came life and school, and back in college, I finally got into archery again and took up bow hunting and, you know, did well and had fun. And but there was always something missing. You know, when I bought things, I didn't really have ownership to them. And I think that as life goes on, that's a very important factor that we bring into our lives, that we have hobbies and activities that we were given this talent by the Lord. And more importantly, we share that talent with other people. So through the years, besides making bows for people, I've also been asked, will you teach me how to do it? And I love doing that. I taught junior high for 30 years, and as my wife says, it's amazing you still have any sanity left. But I really enjoyed that group of kids. They were really at an age where you could, you know, creativity was developing. They were still naive. And in fact, I had one boy that wasn't really paying attention one day, and I said, well, what you have a need is over in that cabinet, and it's labeled elbow grease. And away he goes, looking for elbow grease. Came back, couldn't find it, Mr. Strunk. Well, you better go look again. I'm sure I just saw it over there. And then I explained to him what the problem had been, because he wasn't really paying attention. And that kind of fits into my life, too. I wasn't really paying attention all the days I was out hunting and fishing to the beauty of the Lord's creation. Yes, I admired the great waterfalls and the fog flowing over the mountains and all of this. And all the time, Lord is shooting arrows at me and they're piercing me. And yeah, I get it. You created this. You created this for all of us. And, you know, too often we don't look at those things and enjoy them. We're involved in trying to capture the biggest deer in the woods or a fish or whatever, and we pass up all of those other opportunities. Now, when it came to life's experience, for some reason, my folks dedicated me in 1941 at the First Christian Church in Walton, Oregon. Of course, I didn't know the Lord, but I am very proud that they did that, and I use it as a date that's outstanding in my life. In 1962, of course, all these other events took place before that, that formed my life experiences, I met my soulmate. We met in a car. I was a volunteer fireman in Corvallis going to school, and a friend drove me back to the fire station. I said, I'm going to marry that gal. Went and bought a car, started dating her, 59 years this December. So, and, you know, she'd be here this morning, except she's over serving at First Christian Church, hamburgers and the what. And probably going to be some left over, I hope, when I get there. But anyway, as an archer, and I am an archer, I love to bow hunt, but my old body is getting weary these days. And a friend of mine wrote an article about the three phases of a hunter, and I'm into the third phase. You know, I kind of sit around, enjoy the sun coming up and all the other parts that God created. But when it comes to archery, I can step out in the backyard and every night or quite often shoot some arrows and feel relaxed. And I need to focus, you know. If I'm going to hit this mark, I need to concentrate on the smallest possible little detail about it. And along with that, I read the Bible each morning. You know, I do a chronological read and been doing that for several years. And it's amazing. I don't remember reading that last year, you know, and studying the Bible. You know, I'm a busy guy, you know, but okay, I take time out each week to go to a Bible study and involve in that. And if nothing else, it's just a great way to get a hold of people and, you know, and love that relationship that we have. And the other thing is that arrow of walking the path of Jesus. We need to walk in his footsteps. Not always the easiest way to go. And I brought a couple bows here to kind of represent those paths. I'll show you this one. It's quite special. I actually was doing a class over in Oregon City area, and these guys showed up with pieces of wood that looked kind of like this. And I kind of agonized all night. What am I going to do, you know? But to me, this kind of represents the path that some of us followed to come to the Lord. We had humps and bumps and curves and crooks, and we resisted, you know. We got involved in other activities. But in reality, this bow and the next one I'm going to show you shoot an arrow exactly the same way. I've had people say, well, how do you shoot a straight arrow out of a crooked bow? Well, actually, it's the arrow that's the important part. You know, this just is the little instrument here. And I'll just lay these down. By the way, this wood is yew, which is known throughout the world as a bow material. And right now, our program at the First Christian Church, I'm back teaching kids again. And I feel this is one of those arrows that God shot me with. You know, bingo, it got me in the heart, you know. And I love teaching kids. And in fact, today I was complimenting one of our classes members. We come in, we get a little orientation, and last week we reviewed all the stuff we were doing for the program, like these crosses we've made out of three horseshoe nails right before Easter. And they represent the three nails that held Christ to the cross and the blood that purified our sins. But anyway, the yew is probably one of the premier bow woods of the world. A lot of cultures used it. And it grows specifically in our Pacific Northwest. And the English actually made it famous as a war bow, but we use it today for a lot of things. But this bow being perfectly straight, as you can see, kind of represents how other people have come to the Lord from early age all the way to maturity, without any humps and bumps and resistance, like some of us other slow learners were, you see. So here we are. And they both shoot the same kind of arrows. In fact, my quiver here is actually the foreleg of a moose. I didn't get it with a bow, but I did get it in British Columbia in 1998. But I brought it to hold these arrows. And these are things that I think as a parent, as a father, and, you know, that date of 1967 and 1971 are kind of special because that's when my two children were born. And I couldn't find a instruction manual at the same time, you know. I'm holding this 6-pound, 7-ounce little girl in 1967, and holy cow, what do we do now? You know, we're both college graduates. We're both working here in Tillamook teaching, but we still don't have any training in this department, you know. But along the way, I had to say, you know, we're going to give them some guidance. You know, that's one of my arrows. And love, course. And the other one here, especially teach him a good work ethic. You know, my dad and mom did a real good job of that. I think I was picking beans when I was 9 years old, and I no more got into latter part of high school and he already got me a job digging fire trail out in the woods. And as soon as I graduated from high school, I was setting chokers out in the rigging and logging. And I did that every summer, spring break, Christmas break, whatever, to get myself through college. And, you know, to me, work is one of those things that are, it's a kind of a necessity, isn't it? You know, you can look at work as that old four-letter word that we don't want to repeat sometimes, but in reality, it brings out the best of us. You know, the pride that we put into what we do, you know, the fact that we are proud of what we can accomplish. And I'm proud that I've been operating our business for over 40 years. We rarely ever advertise. We get people through the product quality and the word of mouth. And, of course, they say, God bless you when I send it out. And it's amazing how many people come right back, thank you, I'm a believer also. It's really a great camaraderie that we have with people in this sport. Another one here we have is role model. As a parent, we need to set a good role model for our children. Now, our children did a really good job for us. Years ago, there was a busing program at the First Christian Church bringing kids to Sunday school. Well, of course, our kids wanted to go. And we said, you know, we better get involved with our kids. This isn't something we just send them off to. We get involved with them. And we were all baptized on the same day. And it's just been one of the greatest blessings of seeing that, feeling that arrow of God hitting me right here. You know, I think today we were presenting material in our little program downstairs, and we first thing we made was a walking stick. And on the walking stick, we hang little leather tags on it when we accomplish something, like we learn how to tie certain knots, we learn the names of tools, whatever. Well, I said, you know, this walking stick is really getting to be needed by me to get around. And what do you think is your walking stick? And the boy raised his hand, because that's what we're asking them to do. Raise your hand, we'll ask the call on you then. If not, we don't. He said, God. The other day, I saw one of our boys run over and open the door, hold it open for a young man to wheel his mother in with a wheelchair. Yes, that's what we want. We're building this strong man program from the ground up, and hopefully, you know, it'll continue year after year. And the last one here is trustworthy. You know, our kids need to know that we're going to do what we say we're going to do. You know, we're going to be responsible. We're going to give them guidance, show them how to go through life. And like my daughter said, we're not always going to have a smooth road. She goes on to say that I'm the best guy in the world she ever knew, so I didn't want to present all that out here. But even though we know it's true. But anyway, if I can find my notes. And there we go. I'm not really what you call much of a public speaker, but my wife said, keep it short, don't bore them to death. So I've told you all those things that I've done through the world, in the world and life, and you know how God came into my life. And I was on the way to the golf course the other morning, and another arrow hit me. I said, you know, this is what we call an epiphany, I think, right? God is the bow. Jesus is the arrow. And I'm the target. And if we can let those arrows change our life, direct our life, we're in good shape.
What's the name of your company?
Good question. What do you think it is?
Well, I already know.
I know. Spirit Longbow. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of camaraderie of fellow archers. And I can't remember the third one. But yeah, it's just been really good. I have a customer in Georgia and his son-in-law also. He's a bit younger than I am, but he calls me up quite often. In fact, he's the only customer that I have that I know his phone number by heart. And we just talk, you know, and he drives truck up and down the East Coast and around delivering things. And I know his wife's not really well, and we pray for each other. And I, you know, that is one of the greatest things that we have is the ability to pray for one another. And he's, of course, one of my best customers. He said, I got my Bose out the other day, and I forgot that I even had some of them. I have 60 Bose, and three or four of them may not be yours. But 1 week in, or 1 year here, and his father-in-law bought 13, or son-in-law bought 13 bows from me. You know, and I, you know, I'd never got into this to make money at it. You know, to me, it was one of those arrows that was directing my life. I've always had hobbies, and I taught shop, which kind of leads to that, you know. And one of the first things I learned in woodworking is my grandfather, who was a Norwegian man, liked to carve and whittle things, a little ball in a cage and everything, taught me how to use a wood lathe. And I'm loving, because we're going to get a wood lathe now for our program at the church and teach those boys how to do it. And hopefully the girls will come down there. I know some of them are interested. But to me, it was just kind of the, I want to do this. I mean, I bought a bow or two, and you know, I have this work ethic that says, I'm either going to make it right or I'm going to ruin it in the process of trying to make it right. And to me, as a shop teacher, I see things, you know, oh, there's a little scratch here or a little mark there. And no, I can't live with that. I got to make it nice. And so I built a bow and sold it for $10-$15 so I could buy more materials, do another bow. And finally, I built one. Yay, I like that one. So I met at an archery shop in Southeast Portland one evening shooting, and the guy says, can you make me one? Well, yeah. So we started our business, 1980, I think it was. Yeah, any other questions? I must have done a heck of a job. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, to me, it's another one of those arrows. That's pretty important. And if I can pass it on and have 100 or whatever, you know, people out there making bows due to what I've taught them, great. Yes.
Just letting you know, I built a bow under you in 1980. And you also made me run back and forth on that junior high field for talking every day.
Well, life's lessons are sometimes tough. Yeah, we had a little boy run off the other day and left all of his leather stamping tools out. And we've been teaching him, you know, you put them back, we know where to find them. Well, he was gone for probably a month, you know. But my mind was still working, you know. When he comes back, I'm going to have a broom and a dustpan ready. And he swept out the shop today. So he didn't really, you know, I just explained to him, and he was doing it as a good-natured thing. But, you know, to me, that's fun of working with kids and people. It's just sharing that arrow that you were pierced by. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Well, we made bowls and dustpans and, yep, everything like that. And I had all three of Pam's and Larry's boys in school. And I'm not going to tell any stories about them. But,
I'm sorry about that.
Thank you, John. Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to go. Hopefully there's a hamburger left over there for you.
I had never met John. I had heard of him.
He also worked at a walking stick.
Yeah. All right. Really appreciate that. Oh, thanks. So, just more kind of wind things down. So, we're going to start with, just 3 points, and we're going to start with point three and go backwards. Since he did this thing with the arrows and the bow, I thought, well, we better start with ready, aim, release. So, as an archer, they look at a target and they begin to line up their arrow and shoot for the target. And this passage of scripture says that the children in the hands of a young dad are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. And so as I'm thinking of this, it's like, where do you want your children to go? Which direction do you want them to aim for? What is your target for your children? And I think it's very important. If we don't have a target for our children, there's no telling where they're going to wind up. They're probably going to wind up in places that you never intended for them to wind up or expected them to wind up. But this passage tells me, and hopefully it tells you as well, that we need to have a direction in place for our children. If God puts them into your hand, they're a gift from the Lord, this passage says. They're a gift from the Lord. And if they are put in your hand, there's a reason that they're put in your hand. And the reason is so that you can direct them in the way that they should go. And I want to encourage you, parents, and some of you are looking on through Zoom, some of your grandparents here, I encourage you, begin praying as the right now. And if you ever have any more babies come along, pray the moment you receive them, God, what is your plan for this child so that I can set it on the path that you have for them? If you don't have that, they're going to be like that crooked bow. And they may never come to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, get a goal in mind, get a target in mind, and begin as soon as you can to begin direct them in the way that the Lord would have them go. Now, it may not be the direction that you plan for your own life. God has something different for them, but you need to immediately begin praying for them and asking God, what is your desire for these children? You may say, and let me just say, get it in your mind's eye. Get your target fixed. It's not enough just to say, I want them to stay out of trouble. It's not enough just to say, I don't want them using drugs or alcohol. It's not enough to say, I just don't want them to go to jail. If that is your goal, you're aiming too low. You want them to be a good student? Wonderful. You want them to be respectful, conscientious workers like John was talking about earlier. You want them to have a good education. That's awesome. But I want you to know that the universities and our higher level of education now are really teaching the mindset of the world in every class. And you might want to think about a different plan than going to one of the universities. I want them to be problem solvers. I want them to be critical thinkers, looking at the world through the lens of Scripture, not through the lens of a secular worldview. I want them to think for themselves, not swallow mind poison that is presented to them. I want them to be God-honoring, Jesus-serving, people-loving, Christ-sharing individuals who know and believe the Bible and are being led by the Spirit. That's a goal. That's a target. That's something that you can put in your head and begin to, even as a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, begin to guide your children, grandchildren toward that. One day, you're going to release that arrow. One day, they will leave the home. And what you've done, and you only have 18 to 20 years. Okay? Unless they move back home. But you only have a certain amount of time to instill these things in them. And then you're going to release them. And I believe God is allowing you as parents, myself as parents, to create in them and help them to fulfill the destiny that God has for them. And when we release them, we're sending them out into the world to be a impact for the kingdom of God. The second thing, let me just say, look at what is your children good at? What are their gifts? And when you see those things, encourage them in it. Point number two. Scripture says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord guard the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Who's the watchman? Who's the protector of your home? The Father is the protector. A watchman in the Old Testament, even today, a watchman was a person who would stand guard at the city wall, and they would look out into the landscape to see if there's any intruders coming, seeing if there's any potential of danger, seeing if there's any armies that are coming to sack the city. A watchman is a king's servant. He has sharp eyes. He's able to detect movement, shapes, and shadows where there would normally have been none. He is observant and attentive, watching for impending danger, and when he sees it, to give warning to the people within the city. So as a dad, if you see impending danger coming toward your family, what are you going to do? You're going to warn them. You're going to do everything you can to keep that from happening. God has given you, as dad, the responsibility for being the watchman for your family. John 10:10 says this. The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and destroy. The enemy is prowling all around trying to snatch your children from you. Trying to snatch your children from the Lord. I want to encourage you as parents to be attentive to what your children are watching on TV. Be attentive to what your children, the games that they're playing on the internet. Pay attention to what pornography issues come up over the internet. You have to be on watch. Don't just think that your kids are going to do good just because you're not watching. There's a lot of temptations out there. And I remember being a kid. And I remember getting by with whatever I could get by with until Dad caught me. Now, my dad was a watchman. And it was almost like he knew without me having to tell him. He was very discerning. And I think that's what you as parents have to be, is discerning regarding your children. You have to guard their hearts. You have to guard their hearts. The enemy wants to destroy their heart. So here's the thing. There are God-honoring things out there on the internet. There's God-honoring movies. There's God-honoring games. There's God-honoring substitutes for everything that your children are involved in. And I would encourage you, parents, find those God-honoring things and get them involved in that. The Lord will feed their spirit the good things that He has for them, but the enemy will feed their spirit with evil things, and so you have to guard their heart to keep them from having those things and those issues in their lives. John spoke about modeling your behavior before your children, before the children. So what your children, what you do in secret, your children will find out about it. What you do in secret, your children will do to excess. And so I want to encourage you, parents, you have to model the life that you want your children to live. The last thing it says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. We need to call out to the builder of homes. This word house is often translated home, family, and so what is the, anybody can build a house. An atheist can build a house. Okay, an atheist can saw lumber. An atheist can nail a nail. An atheist can read blueprints. And this is not talking about building a house per se. It's about building a home. He says, unless the Lord build the home, unless the Lord build the family, you labor in vain. Who build it? Wouldn't it be horrible to be working at a job for 20 years and it's in vain? We need the Lord to help us. And the only way He's going to help us is if we call out to Him on a daily basis. I am not a master builder, but He is. Years ago, I was building some cabinets in my home, and I did not know how to build cabinets, but I didn't have money to buy cabinets. So I was framing up cabinets like I normally would a stick-built home. And I was going to put doors on the front and well, there was a master cabinet maker who came to my home and while I was in the process of building these cabinets. They must have looked pretty rough. Because when he came in, he said, look like you need some cabinets. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, probably, but this is all I've got. He said, I tell you what. Why don't you come to my house? We'll go to my shop. And I've got some lumber that I just purchased from a widow lady whose husband passed away and didn't cost me a lot. And if you'll come to my shop, I'll give you the material and we can work in the shop together and build you some cabinets. So I went to his shop. I've got a pretty large kitchen. Well, it wasn't one large until we knocked out some walls. And then my wife likes a large kitchen. So we went to his shop, and he had red oak that he wanted to give me. And so he and I spent 2 years in his shop, because there was only certain evenings he was able to work and certain evenings I was able to work. And so for 2 years, we worked in his shop making these cabinets. And I'll let you know, the cabinets that he says I made, and I know better, the cabinets that I helped him make, look a whole lot better than the cabinets I was building alone. Because I didn't know what to do. Sometimes as a parent, we don't know what to do. And if we do it alone, it's not going to turn out good. It's going to probably be ugly. But the Lord says, unless the Lord build your house. Unless the Lord build your home, you labor in vain. So this is what I would encourage you to do. Every day, you pray. And you ask the home builder, help me build my home and set the direction for my children. I can't do this alone. I can't do this alone. And do you think the Lord would be, what do you think the Lord would say if you asked him to help you? Go do it yourself. He'd say, man, I've just been waiting for you to ask me. I've just been waiting all this time for you to help me or for you to ask me. The Lord wants to, but he's not going to. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So I'm saying ask. And another thing you need to do is pray for your children daily. Pray them for them by name. Ask the Lord, Lord, I'm listening to you, and help me to see in my children the things that you've put in them so that I can direct them in the way that they should go. Pray for them. Ask the builder of the universe to assist you. Listen, if Jesus Christ can speak the world into existence, do you think he has a clue on how to help you raise your family? I guarantee you, he does. He can build your home. So I would encourage you to persistently ask. Ask regarding your children. Ask regarding your grandchildren. Ask regarding your great-grandchildren. And there will be times when the Lord will speak to your spirit and you can verbalize those things at the proper time. We've spoken about this before. Be diligent to follow the Lord in your personal life. You're building their lives. Model before your children what it means to follow the Lord. Pray with them. Teach them to pray. Read the Bible to them. Teach them to read the Bible. Pray with them. The spiritual welfare of your family is vastly more important than working long hours and making more money. This passage of Scripture in verse 2, it said, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. I know it's important. We need to work. That's something God has given us to do as a gift and as a responsibility. It's something we need to do. But when you sacrifice the well-being of your family for more money or more toys or more gadgets or more gizmos so that you can give your children and you're sacrificing the important things, then it's the price that you're going to pay is more than you would like to pay. It's going to cost the lives of your children. So what I'm going to ask you as parents, would you commit, grandparents as well, to invest the things of the Lord into your children? Would you commit to praying for and encouraging the path the Lord has for them? Would you do that? Would you make it a priority? Would you seek the Lord on the behalf of your children as if their life depended on it? Because it does. One day they're going to leave. And where they end up, in large part, depends upon us. And I want to speak to these. Some of you parents have family members that have already gone from the house and you don't have as much influence. But I want to tell you this, it's never too late to pray. It's never too late to pray. And it's never too late to speak truth and love to them. It's never too late. It's never too late to identify attributes God placed in them and call them forth. Call those attributes forth. It's never too late to see those things. And it's never too late to affirm them in their God identity. It's never too late. I see this in you. I see this deposit that the Lord has made in you, and it's wonderful. A lot of times we like to pick out the negative things. You're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing that, you're not all this, you're not all that. What if we affirm them in the attributes that God has deposited into them? What if? Wouldn't that be awesome? I think it would make some hearts change toward the Lord. And no matter what, affirm your love to them. Affirm your love to them. So I'm just an encouragement to parents, grandparents, to help these children, grandchildren, get on the path the Lord has for them, even at an early age. You'll never be sorry. We're not going to have an invitation this morning, but I want you to carry this home. And what I would like in a few weeks when I come back, particularly you parents, if you've spent some time in prayer and asking the Lord, what about the direction for my child? If you could share that with me, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. And I don't know if you want to share it with the whole group or just myself or how that would work, but I just encourage you, and again, grandparents, great-grandparents, I believe with all my heart that if you begin praying with the intention of helping your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren go in the direction the Lord has them to go, He will begin showing you things that perhaps you haven't seen before. So, Father, I come before You today. Lord, I thank You for Your word to us. I thank You for this deposit of Scripture that You have laid upon my heart. And Lord, I want to just right now pray for John, Hadassah, Sam, and Nicholas. Lord, that You would help me to be the granddad that I need to be to them. Lord, deposit into my spirit the things You have for them. Give me eyes to see the gifts, the talents that You've given them so that I can encourage them in it. Lord, one day we're going to have a school here. I pray that we would be have such a heart that we can see what I've just spoken about in the hearts and lives of the children that come here, so that we can be help be the catalyst to send them forth into Your purpose, into Your plan. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you.